They're like, how do you have so much energy? I'm like, I create it. Like, I legit manufacture the energy that I have now. And like, I always wanted to be a vibe. So one day I was like, I'm gonna start fucking making this energy that I want in my life.
Welcome to the Mocktails Made Me podcast. Join your hosts, Matt and Britt, as they explore the transformative impact of reducing or eliminating alcohol. Each episode contains firsthand accounts from people who have reduced or eliminated alcohol from their life, which has resulted in launching new endeavors and reaching personal milestones. Tune in to hear these inspiring stories and the remarkable impacts of living alcohol-free and discover what the mocktails make them do.
Today, we are thrilled to welcome the indomitable Jill Kramer to our show. Not just any fitness and mindset coach, Jill possesses a unique ability to transform adversity into advantage, making her a true script flipper. Beyond her coaching prowess, she's also an ultimate Dave Matthews fan, a passion that infuses her life and work with extraordinary energy. We'll explore Jill's journey from battling addiction to building a successful coaching business, develop into her script flipping philosophy, and discover how Dave Matthews' music has inspired and shaped her path. Get ready for an inspiring session filled with powerful insight and a touch of musical magic. Welcome, Jill Kramer.
Hello.
Yay. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Hello. That was the nicest stuff anyone's ever said about me, probably. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We're so excited to have you because in all honesty, like your story is one of the most inspirational stories that I have heard. And I think it's just going to inspire so, so many people because I think there's so many people that go to the places that you went to, but they don't get to where you are now.
Oh my God.
And I really think that by you sharing with our audience, there's someone's going to hear about this story and be like, I can do it too. You know, like there's like light at the end of the tunnel if I put one foot in front of the other. So with that being said,
thank you.
Would you want to kind of tell us your story, like where it kind of started, where it just nosedived, and then what kind of was that kind of hurrah, that light bulb point when you were like, okay, like something's like, it has to turn around. Like,
yeah.
The only other choice is the turnaround.
Yes. It was kind of like the turnaround or die, which sounds like super, super, super duper dramatic. But like, I think I went out kicking and screaming. Like, I know I've told you this part before. Like, I think that I had it easy as far as change goes. You know how like change is hard. Really freaking hard. And like breaking bad habits, making new ones, hard, super hard. We get stuck in our ruts. We get stuck in our ways. We become like kind of slaves to our autopilots or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, if I wouldn't have gone off the deep end, I probably would have never changed. Like, I don't want to say I'm grateful for like becoming an addict, but I kind of am, I think, because otherwise I would have just been coasting through. Like if I wouldn't have totally fucked up my life, lived on the streets, I probably would still just be like drinking my life away, you know?
Yeah.
So I came to Texas to basically fix my life. Like I had been like, what, it's funny when you were asking about my relationship with drinking, like I thought I was just a normal drinker for so long. But then when I was thinking back on it, I was like, I don't know if I ever was, like, because I was kind of reflecting and all of these random memories kept popping up of like getting in trouble, getting kicked out of school, getting suspended from school, getting, you know, arrested, getting just all of these things that like I always took it to the next level, to the extreme. Like I never wanted the party to end.
I think I feel that too. Like I, when I look back, I was like, And I wouldn't even like, I wasn't really even like a drinker in high school. I drank like two or three times, but none of them turned out well. Like it never, there wasn't a, like, and that's why I didn't drink in high school, because it didn't turn out well for me. Like I was like, this is not good. So I'll be everyone's designated driver instead. But I didn't, it never went like on a flashlight in my head, like, oh, that's a problem either. I didn't think of myself as a problem drinker either. I was just like, it just doesn't turn out good.
That's so awesome. Like I seriously freaking commend you. And I'm so like in awe of people like you who have the self-awareness that knew that about themselves and like could put the brakes on it. Because I was like,
no, I only did that through high school. Let's be honest. Like once I graduated from high school, it all turned. But in there, and I was like still like the really good kid that was like trying to play by the rules. So I was like, this isn't the role playing situation.
Yeah. Oh man. Like No, please do. I love it. I love hearing people's stories, and I love, it's just crazy. It's crazy, crazy, crazy how we all like our experiences are like created by our own realities that are layers upon layers upon layers of like shit. And like people are always like, well, how did you get to where like people from my past who I knew before I totally like went off the rails. They're like, how did you get to that point? I'm like, baby steps, literally consistent. This is why I always say consistency can work for you and against you. And the baby steps add up in all directions, because I didn't wake up one day and think today seems like a great day to become an addict and an alcoholic. I was like baby stepping my way into that shit, you know?
One day at a time.
That's what I always say. And that's what I'm always like, one day at a time, one step at a time, one rep at a time. And that can go both ways. And I think that that is one of the cool, like, perspective mindset flips that I've, like, been able to use in my favor now, and also to help people, like, build healthy routines, right? But definitely went down kicking and screaming. Like, I moved to Texas. Okay, so rewind. I graduated from UW in Seattle. Totally went around, traveled a lot. That was kind of my first love, was like I would spend all my money on traveling, you know? And then I came back, and there was one point when I had like spent a year in Thailand, came back, and then I just like always had a pocket full of pills in my pocket or a bunch of blow, or there was always something else to be going along with the booze. And so that got worse and worse and worse over time. And like just doing it on the weekends to get through the weekend shifts at work turned into getting my ass out of bed the next day. You know, like my sister said to me once, she's like, not everybody wakes up excited to jump out of bed in the morning, but that doesn't mean they hit the bottle and the bag of blow like you do, you know, to like get over that hump. That's like not a normal thing, Jill. And I was like, what?
I don't.
What? I'd be like, why not? But the days became nights, the nights became days. And like literally before I knew it, I like to call it like a 5 to 7 brownish blackout. Got fired from jobs, like by my friends too. Like, cause you know, you're working in the restaurant bar industry, you work with the same people. I got fired by like two of my really good friends from different jobs, which was like terrible. It was just bad. Went to jail, ended up moving to Texas because my brother lives here. And I had been coming to visit a couple times a year because Dave starts his summer tour here. Mm-hmm. So I'd come here and go to the show in May and then go to the Gorge at the end of the summer. But anyways, it was kind of, I literally feel like my family kind of kicked me out of the state. They're like, you got to get your shit together, go to Texas. So I went to came here, but it got way worse before it got better. Same thing with the jobs, fired. I went to treatment, and I honestly think the first time, okay, so the first time was in October. And I had this weird thought in my head, was like, I would just use it as like a cleanse, like as a reboot. And then I got out and I started drinking again. And I didn't really start drinking all day, every day until I had the realization and knew that I had to quit doing the hard stuff. I was like, I'm not going to make it through life like spending all my money on party favors. At that point, I don't even know if I had any belongings left. I like,
good thing no one told you that doctors give Adderall for cheaper.
Oh my gosh. But I was buying that shit on the streets too. Like, you know how much money I spent on that shit?
Yeah, that's expensive. Like a friend of mine, her biggest joke is like who buys cocaine on the streets when God made Adderall? Like, it's literally so much easier and cleaner. Like, and that's how sad, I used to say shit like that and think it was hilarious. Yeah. Like, be like, oh, it's yeah.
So true, though. Oh my gosh. That was probably my first, like, Adderall and booze together. That combo, man. That one got me good.
Because you don't feel drunk. You just what's feel, that? You can just, like, no one knows you're that drunk. You're just coasting. Yep. My doctor put me on 80 milligrams a day.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I was just getting prescribed 80 milligrams a day. So I would just go balls to the wall, popping, eating Adderall like it was freaking M&Ms, and like you know that feeling. You're just like, I don't feel that drunk. I can keep drinking another one because it's
And keep getting through. My friend and I that I worked with used to call them Skittles. We'd be like, they were just like the candy we had in our pocket all the time. It was crazy. Yeah, but that was my first, like, I didn't start like the hard stuff until after the Adderall phase. But before that, there was like an Oxy phase and a Vicodin and Percocet phase. You know, there was always something else going on. And it wasn't until I started trying to quit all that stuff that I started drinking like all day, every day. Because I was just chasing the high, you know. For some reason, like, my morals told me it wasn't okay to pop the pills and do the blow all day, but it was okay to be drinking all day every day because that's how life is, right? Like, that's what our
society says. It's okay to drink because it's not it's alcohol. It's not drugs, but it is drugs. It is the same thing.
And honestly, I got so sloppy when I, like, that was probably when, obviously, I'm not proud of the fact that I used to like roll out of bed and do blow for breakfast. But when I was just drinking all day, every day, that was the sloppiest, most like shameful, remorseful, messy phase of life ever. Like, there are moments, there are days, there are weeks that I legit do not remember. And it's scary. Like, I can't believe I'm alive still. It's terrifying, really.
Very happy that you are alive.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Second.
What's that?
Ditto.
You seconded that.
I definitely, when I, okay, so I got out of treatment. Sorry, I kept getting distracted. Got out of treatment the first time. I was like, okay, that was my cleanse. I was just going to reboot. Now I'm going to start drinking like a normal person again. But we all know that shit is not true, because trying to moderate something that you're like mentally obsessing over is fucking impossible. Like, I remember one thing that stuck with me in treatment is they were like, you're in here and your disease is outside doing push-ups. And for some reason that really resonated with me, because it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger, right? And like, our brains are broken. Our brains are freaking broken.
I don't even know if our brains are broken. I think it's just a highly addictive substance. Like, and honestly, like, I used to mess around with like ecstasy and cocaine and all the pill. Like, and not like those were probably just the two things I did, but I never had an issue like quitting those things. Like, those weren't like, but alcohol, like, when alcohol hit my bloodstream, it's like, give me more, give me more, give me more. Yeah. And I never really had that really with anything else besides alcohol. So I just feel like it's like such an addictive substance. And I was talking to him the other day and I was like, even people that are normal drinkers that go out and maybe have one or two, even those, most of those people have that story of drinking too much in a shameful moment. Does, and you know, like, it's alcohol shamed everybody.
Yeah.
It's the shamer. It loves to shame everyone. Like,
such a good point. It is the universal shamer.
Like, I'm not going to take too much Adderall and go out and make a fool out of myself. I'm probably not going to do a line of coke and go make a fool out of myself. Ecstasy, I might just hug someone too much, but I'm not going to say anything absurd and mean, you know, like, But alcohol, it's going to take you to the next level, maybe make you be a dick, and yeah. you're going to wake mm-hmm. up shameful at one point or another, even if you're a pretty normal drinker, unless yes. you're like that one person that's right. had two sips their whole life.
Yeah, their well, it's not basic. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's like this, the shameful remorse, and it's like that anxiety, anxious feeling that you'd wake up with, and I'm so glad I never have to feel again, because it turned me into like a monster too. It's like, oh, I just mm-hmm. want to shake it off. People are like, I can't see you that way. I'm like, no, ask somebody who was there at the end. Like, I turned into a fire breathing asshole dragon version of myself. Like, I was a fucking dick, like a dick enough that loved ones kicked me out onto the street. Like, and I do not fault them for that. Like, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm so grateful for that part of the journey, like for all of those dots connecting. And like, obviously mm-hmm. I wasn't happy about it, but I fucking deserved it. But like, I can't say I wouldn't have done the same thing. I was such an asshole. Like, it turns you into a monster. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's devil's mm-hmm. water.
That's so true. And you're right. It's not like I ever like took too many Adderalls or did too much blow and like turned into a massive freaking mumbly asshole, you know?
No, never.
I was just like in my craft room making shit.
No, if you smoke a joint, you're just sinking into the couch eating too many Oreos and maybe gaining yeah. 5 pounds yeah. that you didn't want, but
no, you're not like putting your life and other people's life in danger.
You're not stumbling around like some fumbling fool.
Yeah, like doing shit that you know that like you wouldn't fucking do otherwise. And that's the thing I mean about it, like breaking your brain is where it like you know how you form like your like neural passageways and you become like totally, totally slave to your like thought patterns and habit loops. And you're just gonna get the freaking booze and do the shit no matter what. So like yeah. it's scary. It's scary, like the depths we'll go to like get shit done, right?
And it makes you want to do the other bad stuff. Like, I've never, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I would have never touched hard drugs if it wasn't for alcohol.
Right. Yeah. That's like the thing. Alcohol lowers your inhibitions that would have prevented you from going further down the path. So it's like a complete joke to think of marijuana as it's a gateway drug to like the chip aisle at the grocery store. But it's really not a gateway drug to more drugs like alcohol is.
Yes, that is such a good point. Like, and that's why, like, people ask me if I'll ever drink again. I'm like, no. Because even if I thought I wanted to try and, like, have one, I'm too fucking terrified of, like, the fact that I would talk myself into doing all the other shit if I started drinking, you know?
Oh, like, yeah. Once that, like, first like domino falls. And that's the way yeah. that I was in particular was like, it's either 0 or 10, you know,
yeah.
I could never moderate that. Cause like once that first domino goes, it's just like, you know, a rush.
Totally. And like my ass ended up on the streets, dude. Like I cannot even believe. It's crazy sitting here having this conversation with you because people are like, what do you mean you were homeless? I'm like, no, seriously, I had nowhere to live, but it's my own doing, but it's the booze and the drugs that got me there, you know? It's crazy, mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, but like you like totally you've turned it around, like, which is insane because like, that's the thing, like you hear about, like, we hear a lot about mommy wine culture and they get really in depth inside their home and stuff, but you ended up in places that like people don't like to talk about, you yeah. know, like people like to, it's like, it's a whole nother level of where addiction can take you.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've turned that, like you were the best at like taking and flipping the script. And I love that so much about you. Like, you're so good at it. Like sometimes when I'm like being like a little brat in a pissy mood, I'm like, what would Jill think? You know, like,
oh, so thank you, Jill. I appreciate that.
Thank you. That is crazy. That's so funny. Somebody in treatment. So the second time when I went back, like I literally had been, I have only told like a hand, I kind of hinted this sometimes like on my post, but like, I don't know if I've ever really told these kind of full on stories. So thank you. But
what is it making you pour out all the bones in your closet?
No, it almost
so many euphemisms into one right there.
What?
Pouring out the bones from your closet. There's like three different euphemisms in there.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's making a
all the skeletons in my closet, all my
skeletons. Yeah. And then pour them out, I think is the thing. So take them and then pour them out. I don't know how you're gonna pour them out, but you gotta do it.
Okay, I'm doing it. Holy shit. Okay, so wait, where did I okay, so treatment, second time I went, I had been sleeping in the freaking chapel at the DFW airport because I didn't know there were churches in the airport. Did you guys?
I don't go to church, so I don't know where churches are.
I had literally been like, it was January in Dallas, so it was so cold, like freezing ass cold. So I had traveled so much in the past, I was like pretty in, like I knew I could like hop on a bus, hop on a train, go somewhere, you know what I mean? Like find somewhere to stay. But my home base turned into the freaking chapel at DFW Airport. This is insane. I used to ride the dart around just to stay warm. I got kicked off that thing so many times. It's insane. And like every time I had like one backpack full of shit. Every time I think I lost something else, like by the time I ended up back in treatment, I had on like the same clothes I'd been wearing for like 3 weeks, like half a fucking shoe. I hadn't brushed my hair or my teeth in like the whole time. I was disgusting, like clouds of shame and remorse. But I had been woken up by a cop in the chapel at the airport, and he was like, "You gotta quit coming here to sleep." Like, and it was the craziest thing because I would wake up and like there would be like a pack of crackers somebody had left for me, like right like on my bag or something. You know what I mean? Like the love and the humanity that like the little dots that saved me along the way. Like the cop that kicked me out bought me a fucking Lunchable and a lemonade from the vending machine. And he was like, "Where are you gonna go?" And I, something clicked and I just knew I had to go back to treatment. I was like, this is it. This is like, I'm going to die if I stay out here doing this. Like I was literally roaming the streets, doing drugs and drinking with strangers. Like what the hell was my life going to come to, you know? Like it was fucking crazy. So I went back to treatment and I went back to jail first, honestly. I was cold as fuck and I was stealing some warm clothes from Walmart and I got caught and I was honestly grateful for a warm ass place to sleep. And I think I just like made a post about this recently, the public defender who like got assigned my case was talking with me and I was like, "Can I just stay and wait out my time?" He was like, "No one's ever asked me that before. Like, what are you talking about?" I was like, "Well, I know what's going to happen. You're going to give me probation. You're going to give me court dates. And I'm not going to show up for them. You're going to put a warrant out for my arrest. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm not going to come back here. Like, let me just sit out my time." And he did. And then when I got out, I went right back to treatment. Like, I don't know how I even knew where it was or how to get back there, but I went back. And then after that, I went to sober living for 18 months, like with clothes from the clothes closet, and then just got a job and started learning how to adult again. It was fucking crazy. Crazy.
That's wild.
I know, right?
And now look at, you're here.
It's crazy.
Do you ever think, sometimes I look back and I'm like, how is that my life? Like, how did I live that life and now I live this life? Like,
I think about that so much. And you have honestly, like, I'm so grateful that we freaking even met because like And you say that I help you, like you help me so much because I'll be getting down on myself and you'll say like the perfect thing. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, you know how you can just get stuck in your own head a lot. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. You're really good at pulling me out of that. And I'm grateful to you for that. So thank you, sister.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot. Like,
no, for real. Like, so many times, and it's crazy. Crazy. But I think about that a lot. I'm like, how the hell did I get here? Well, how did I get there? How did I get here? But it's like baby steps adding up. And when I first got sober, and people are always like, one day at a time. I was like, what the fuck? Like, can I get something better than that? Like, seriously, like, what is this? But then one day you look back and you got to where you are one day at a time. You're like, oh, shit. Okay, that's making so much sense right now. Like, focus on the thing in front of you. Literally, the days add up, and like, get out of your own head and into the moment, kind of thing. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's like being in your own head, because I will like take that and then also get into that kind of shame thing too. I'll be like, how, like, but I always think of it this way. Like, I lived a lot of life, and if I hadn't lived all that life, like, I would have never met Matt. I would be here with Matt today, living this life, this very happy, cool life that I get to live with him. And it took like all those mistakes, all those things, you know, all the good times, the heartbreaks, the craziness, and that I'm here. And this is like my life that I had dreamed of, like being a little girl. Like, that's this. And there were so many points in my life that I was like, I'm not worth having that life. I'm not worth being there. And then now I'm here, and it took all that, you know?
Yeah.
And if I hadn't really hit my rock bottom with alcohol and I hadn't done all those things, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. That is such a good example of, it wasn't a setback, it was a setup. You know?
I've never heard that, but I really like, see, I told you she's the best flip script. Like, that is so good. Like,
it is so, that's what I think about. I had to kind of find something like that to like be able to move forward, because you get in your own head in the shame cycle.
Writing that down.
Do it, write it down. Honestly, that I think about that more than once a day. But you get in your own head about like where you're at now and where you thought you were going to be by this point in time when you were younger. And like, you have to let go of all of that shit and realize that like all that stuff was dots connecting you to where you're at now. And you cannot make sense of those fucking dots moving forward. But one day, like right now, you're going to look back and you're like, holy shit. Like, that led me to this, and this led me to that, and that led me to this. And like, all of that shit was setting me up for here and now. And this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Crazy. I love that, because I like, you see so many people and they struggle with that, or they'll be like, they're like sober for 9 months and they drink one time and then they like hate themselves. And I'm like, first I'm like, okay, you have friends that drink more than that, and you're not hating them. Like, calm down. No, it's not the end of the world. Like, you had a couple drinks. You went 9 months, you did your body a little favor, but also, like you said, it's like a setup. Like, you, and a lot of them are like, I didn't like it. I feel the worst I've ever felt, like, you know, it's like a setup for them to know that they probably won't do it again, because they got curious, they tried it and it didn't feel good. So now they can go on knowing.
And it's all, you just reminded me of something else. It's like, I heard it's all data. Like, If you think about it, if your friend told you that she just drank after not drinking for 9 months and she was feeling so shitty about herself, you'd be like, don't beat yourself up. Like, now you know. But like, it's all data, and we kind of have to like almost remove them. Like, when we're thinking about it, you think of like data and experiments as like having no emotion. It's just like collecting observations and facts and all this shit, right? And if you think about that, like, you now you know, like, it felt so shitty, I'm not going to do that again. Like, you just needed a little more data before it was conclusive.
You know? Some of us need more data than others.
Like, now your experiment is concluded. Like, you're good now.
Yeah.
It's funny. I have to think about things like that because otherwise we just can fuck ourselves up in our own head, you know?
Yeah, it gets really easy to do that. And truly, like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are in life. Like, I know I talk to some people that have never drank and they still have their own fucked upness, you know? Like, never touched a drug. Like it doesn't, like, we're all just humans. We're all just balls of energy and stardust. They're all.
I love like, that. Yes.
We're just like, and we think, I think we are told, I think from such a young age, like this is what perfect life looks like. This is what you need to do to have this life that you are supposed to have. But who the fuck decided that?
Yeah.
Who got to decide like what that life looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, like,
yeah.
Like it shouldn't be like obviously going and doing a bunch of drugs and almost dying. But if you're doing all the right things and it doesn't look like the white picket fence and two kids and going to church on Sunday and mommy's staying home baking cookies and daddy's at work and it's not Beaver Cleaver, it doesn't mean it's done wrong.
Yeah. You know, like, I used to get down on myself a lot about like being in the restaurant industry still. And obviously that was like I love the time freedom and flexibility it affords, you know, and now I'm like trying to figure out other ways to have that time freedom.
You're building your coaching program. You're building your whole exercise program. You have like, it gives you time to build what you actually want to do.
Yes. Instead of
doing what everyone else tells you you're supposed to do.
That's so true. And that's such a good point. And it's so refreshing to meet people like you guys who have that same like idea about life. Like it's not, it doesn't have to be one way. And once like, you got to start thinking outside the box because otherwise you're going to drive yourself crazy and that shit's going to make you want to drink.
Okay. All right. Next, we got on our long tangent. So you get out, you're living your life. And then exercise and getting fit and all that stuff like that came in that became a part of your life because I know you told me you got sober first.
Yeah.
And then exercise came.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Fitness. I love fitness over here. This is how little I actually like exercise came from. Not fitness, not working out.
You're making myself so much over here. I love this. No, I love it because I just love it. I got sober first. I was like eating all the candy, eating all the sugar, eating all the shit food. Like I had gained a lot of weight. Not a lot of weight, but I was bigger than I ever been because I was just drinking, binge eating, you know, feeling I call it the mad couch disease when you just like get super fucked up. Sit on the couch, stuff your face, wake up with like Dorito dusted fingertips and shit. But that does not feel good. But
no,
it's like the worst. But then I got out, lived in sober living. I didn't have a car or anything. So I was walking everywhere. Then I got a bike and I was biking everywhere. And like I started to just like feel myself kind of come back to life. Obviously. I felt really shitty for a while at first because let's be real. The first part sucks. Like, it's hard.
I never have to do that again. The first 3 months. I'm like,
it was like, I tell people that like, they're like, how do you have so much energy? I'm like, I create it. Like I legit manufacture the energy that I have now. And like, I always wanted to be a vibe. So one day I was like, I'm going to start fucking making this energy that I want in my life. But first, I laid in bed eating suckers and crying. And like, I tell people it was like, I felt like a wild ass skinned feral cat trying to be made into a house animal. Like, like learning how to adult again was so hard because like I had such fucked up like habits around money, you know, like service industry and drugs don't lend itself well to like, you know, budgets. and then just like connecting with humans I was not good at. I think that's also one of the reasons I've always loved restaurant and bar industry work is because it's like you walk around all night doing all these different things and kind of like connecting with people on surface level acquaintance kind of shit. But you don't ever really have to get too deep. You know, it's funny because now I'm like, man, I don't even want to do small talk at all. But I think that it kind of helped me keep like my distance from people because I had all these fucked up secrets, you know. But okay, sorry, I derailed. I started walking everywhere, started feeling myself coming back to life. I was like, oh my gosh, like I am moving my body and it feels so freaking good. Like, and I had this weird like epiphany. Like when I got out of treatment, I literally just had like a freaking black garbage bag full of clothes to my name. So I had like my mind, body, my soul, and some raggedy ass clothes. And I just had this like, that was my aha moment. Like when you say like, what was your aha moment? Like, I don't think I had one before I got sober because it kind of was like the perfect storm of events happening that got my ass back to treatment. But I remember in treatment the second time, people were like, you're like the happiest person with nothing I've ever met in my whole life. And I was like, I just felt so at peace with knowing that like I was free from like that fucking prison of that mental obsession with like drinking and drugs, you know? So, it was when I realized like I had myself, my mind, my body, my soul. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to start giving back to this mind and body and soul that kept me alive after all that fucked up shit I put it through. And I just started like walking, running, and then I started lifting a little bit. And then I was like, oh my gosh, something's happening. Like I've never felt better. And now I need to start sharing this with people. Like, I think that sober momentum is a thing, you know, like the compound effect of clearing your body out of all the toxins and poisons and bullshit you put in it. Like, obviously that feels really bad at first and you physically feel like sick, right? But then, so if you add that together with like starting to exercise, starting to move your body, working on your mindset, like all of this shit, like works together and you just start feeling so good. And I've been calling it thrival mode.
That's a great one.
But it's like everybody deserves to feel that. And I feel like, don't you feel like people just wander around kind of rolling through their life on this weird autopilot of like, I don't feel bad, but they're just used to how they feel and they don't know that they could feel so much better.
Yeah, I like, so we were talking about this because like we both got like a little cold, but the cold felt so much worse because we're so used to feeling so good now that like when we get sick, but when you're always like kind of hungover, like because we're like weekend warriors, like I would probably drink like almost a full bottle of Costco tequila to myself every Thursday through Sunday or even Friday through Sunday, and then I would get back on, go to work Monday, Tuesday, you know, the weekly grind. Yeah. And then we just do it over and over and over again, you know, and if it was sunny, it would start on Thursday.
Yeah.
And like, you wouldn't even really recover from that until maybe Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then as soon Thursday, as you feel you good, would, you're Thursday, like, let's you would get go good again. Sleep,
and then
get
Friday,
back on the horse.
Yes, that's exactly. Like you have what, maybe like a 12-hour window of Wednesday night through Thursday when you're like, fuck, I feel good.
Yeah.
I know. And then you're like, let's go get some drinks. I feel great.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, be like, we're getting off early on Friday. Let's try to get out of work at 3 o'clock and get to the bar, you know,
like
an ongoing thing. And so you never quite feel great. And even at your little 12-hour window, you don't feel your best because you don't even know what your best feels like until you're
exactly
sober. So I now, like when you feel sick, I feel like really sick. I'm like, did sickness feel like this before? Is there something? Yeah. Am I dying? You know, because it's like, I know what it feels like to feel really good and get good night and all these things. So when something does happen, I notice it, you know, and before I was just always kind of hungover.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice how bad the cold felt because I was used to feeling like shit.
Well, yeah, everything's hard. I mean, even like Monday mornings are better now than that like 12-hour window, like what you were saying on Wednesday.
Yeah, because like your body is just like starting to thrive, but it doesn't happen right away. And it's like, this is why I feel like what you guys are doing and like getting to like connect with people like you guys and like our community growing is so freaking cool, because people need proof that there is, there's, it's worth it to stick it out and break through to the other side to like thrival mode, right? Because like that first part's gonna suck. And a lot of times people are like, fuck that, I'm just gonna have one. It's fine.
Yeah. And yeah, I also think it's tough.
Because you know, when you're starting early too, like there was probably, you know, starting like 17, 18, like 20 years where the longest I had ever gone without a drink up until a year ago was like a month.
Yeah. So, okay. So wait, after that month, did you feel good? Like, did it take the whole month, or do you think it was like a couple weeks or?
Yeah. At the end of the month, I was starting to feel great. And then I know a lot of the other like milestones, like 60, 90, 100 days are when you start to like see really, really good benefits of not drinking. Yeah. So I was like, I have invested 31 days. That was the end of dry January. And I was, hey, Brittany, I think I'm just going to keep going. Like,
nice.
I'm already more than halfway there.
There's me over here like, guzzling more alcohol.
I'm more than halfway to, and then you get to 60. And I'm like, I'm 2 months. Like, why don't I just go to 90? And it goes back kind of what you were saying, where you're kind of just taking it day at a time. I didn't, you know, in dry January of 2023, I wasn't like, maybe this is a new lifestyle for me. I was like, let's get to the end of January and I'll, you know, revisit and see where I'm at. I did the same thing in February. I was like, okay, let's go. And then it was 90 days and it was 100 days. And I mean, some occasionally, like once every month or two, I'll like Google how many days since January 1st, 2023, just to kind of get it in my head.
Yeah.
But I mean, once I got past like, even I think maybe the 100 day mark, it was just like, I had adopted that as a lifestyle and I don't really think about it. It's just like, it's been so great. And the benefits have been just so like salient over those 100 days. It's like not even a thought now.
And that is cool. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of lies out there too. Like when people blog about it, because I remember when I was first thinking about getting sober like years ago, I would like Google it and it was like, I feel after 1 month sober, you get this and this and this and this and that. Really, that's a lot of bullshit. That's just someone wanting someone to read their blog. And like, everyone's like, your skin is clear after 2 weeks. No, my skin looked like I was like, got acne back from high school. I felt like a cheap prom date. Maybe like this one just licked me and tried to get me to stick to a piece of paper. Like that's like, I felt horrible until about like, for me, it was like about 90 days. I started to feel okay. Like my mental was so messed up. Like I kept eating more Adderall and drinking more alcohol. And I had all these things that I buried down deep inside that I didn't want to deal with. And they were, I feel like I was like a trash compactor that like just couldn't be compacted anymore. And it just all started coming out. And that's the only way I can try to explain it. So mentally I was giving out, but I was keeping on. I like always looked pretty. I always like kept it together. Like, you know, if looking at me, you wouldn't have thought, damn, that girl slept fucked up. But deep inside I was fucked up. Like it was.
That's a really good way to describe it. That what you just said about the trash compactor. Like that's, I love visuals and like illustrations like that.
Yeah. So like, that's like where my rock bottom was mentally. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd stay up for almost days just filled with anxiety. And then I would drink to think the anxiety would go away because I didn't know. Yeah. And it was just this ongoing cycle of horribleness. Mm-hmm. And then finally around 90 days, like the anxiety started to clear. The sleep started to come. My skin started to look normal. All of these things started to happen, but I hate when people are like, yeah, in the first month, you're going to feel like a brand new human. Oh, fuck that.
That is so, I totally 100 billion% agree with you. Like, and I mean, I don't know. I only know like my truth and my story and like talking with people like you guys about it. But I know that by the end, like I was drinking all day, every fucking day. And like, your body is in shock. Like it's dangerous to withdraw from that. So like the fact that we made it out of that shit alive and then like, it's like to bring it to fitness, the only way, it's just such a good comparison and so many parallels, because the consistency compounds, right? And like over time, just the one day at a time, and the one day at a time, one step at a time, one rep at a time. Like, as far as feeling like shit with the alcohol and stuff goes, like all I did was focus on the day, like that day today. And I kind of feel like I felt just so foreign in my own body. Like I definitely agree with you. It shit did not get all fucking peaches and roses after a month. It was like, if anything, it was like harder before it got better, you know, because you kind of realize that that was like such a big part of your identity and who you are. You just had to like, you had to like let go of anything that you thought you were headed toward and be willing to just like carry on not knowing, you know. And just that's kind of shit. What's that?
Just lean in. I was like, I'm just gonna lean in to like this is not pretty and it's not gonna look pretty and I'm okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Once in my life I'm gonna be okay just being a mess.
Yeah. And just right. leaning into the discomfort of it.
Yeah. Well, an alcohol like just peels back the layers or draws back the curtain, whatever euphemism you want to use, of like everything else. So like alcohol is a huge trigger for anxiety. And, you know, we're humans. We're going to get anxious about things and, you know, we're going to have that anxiety. But without the alcohol and the fog that it creates, you're able to like kind of, you know, dive into yourself a little bit more and realize, you know, what is triggering this? How can I, you know, manage this? And you're not also triggering it with all of the drinking.
And I also feel like I think things like you're so, I think we're kind of like, it goes back to, like, I was brought up that everything has to look perfect on the outside, even if it's not.
Yeah.
And so therefore I didn't ever deal with anything. I just pushed it down and pushed it down and pushed it down. And by the time I'm almost 40 years later, I was so scared to deal with any of these emotions. Like I was frightened of them. And that's why I kept drinking and taking Adderall and doing all these things, because I was so fearful of what it would feel like to actually think about them, to actually purposely be there for them. And once I got sober, it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Cause it's not like you're, well, I mean, you're, it's like we've got to freaking feel it to heal it. Right. And like, you got to just like jump into that fear. And it's so crazy the way you described it. I didn't even realize until recently that like, that's so true. Like I was just like numbing myself to not feel any emotion, whether it was anxiety, sadness, like disappointment, shame, remorse, lostness, you know, like all the feelings, you just like, you know, chug a lug to numb it.
But the thing is, feelings, we have feelings for a reason, because those are what keep us safe.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to feel the feelings. We're supposed to feel happy and sad, and we are supposed to feel anxious at times. Like those are all things that we wouldn't have those feelings and be able to feel them if, you know, if we weren't supposed to. And by, but our culture's like feelings are bad until just recently.
Yeah,
that's probably why this new generation doesn't even want to drink, because they're okay to feel their emotions.
I know. I'm so crazy. I'm almost like
a little envious.
I was going to say that. I was looking for the word. So thank you. It's like I have this weird like admiration for the younger people who aren't afraid of their feelings. I'm like, wait, where the fuck did you come from? Like, what is happening?
You're supposed to bury that.
And they're like not afraid to just like, you know, say how they feel, mean what they say, all this stuff. One of my sober friends is like, I'm a slut for clarity now. I'm like, that is that is hilarious. I love that. Love it so much. I know, isn't that good? I can't. She's like, I didn't make that up, but I love it. But I just, it's so cool, like that you, so when I first got sober, I did not have, like, I didn't get back on social media at first because I was I knew better than to, like, you know, there's a fine line between like comparison and freaking inspo, right? So I was like, I'm not going to get on there and start like beating myself up about like, well, one, all these fit girls, two, all these people with their lives together, and you know, just like the highlight reels you see. But there wasn't, had I known that there was like a sober community, I would have, but I don't know that it existed back then because it's like about 5 years ago. So I think it's
newer. Yeah, very small.
Yeah, I'm just so freaking, I call it the damn gram, but it's the whole setback and setup thing, because I never would have gotten to meet you guys. I never would have, like,
yeah.
Like, I think that we're all here for the ripple effect, right? Whether we like embrace it or not. And if like sharing our stories helps one person write a damn plot twist into theirs, like being grateful to the damn gram for like allowing us to meet and like connect is so cool, because these are lives, like one person's life, like saving, like giving them the, like the empowered feeling to even like decide to try to quit drinking is fucking huge.
So oh, it's so amazing. Cool.
Yeah. And like, can you imagine, this is like some serious hippie shit, but like, if everybody felt good and like thrived, right? Like if everybody like felt how good it felt to feel good, like got their exercise in, cleaned out their systems, everybody just operated like to their max pro potential. Can you imagine how awesome this freaking whole entire world would be? That's so cheesy, but I can't it's help
not. I actually have to have that conversation with other people before.
Really?
Yeah, like it would be just like, I always tell people too, like I have people reach out and like, how do I do it? And I'm like, you need to know like that you just, not the how, but you deserve to feel good.
Yeah.
Like everyone should know that they are deserving to feel like, like clear headed and good. Yeah. And, I think we miss that step. Like I would take long time, like long periods of time from not drinking during my stint with alcohol, my very long stint. And what was missing, why it never stuck, is I didn't love myself. I didn't like myself. Yeah. And without those things, that you can't hold on to it, because you don't have the confidence to say no when it comes back. You know, at one point you'll break or another. And so I think it comes like when you start to feel this, it's not just giving up the alcohol. I know it sounds so cliche, but it's really learning to love yourself and know yourself and be clear and find purpose and all those things, like the ripple effect you were talking about. So if the ripple effect doesn't come with it, it's hard to keep it.
Yeah.
Alcohol is a depressive sedative. It is. Yeah. It keeps people down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then it keeps you just going back for more and more and more. And that's what they want, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's exactly true. You know, because it keeps you in that cycle. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of that cycle is, oh, well, it's outside of my control, so I'll just like drink it away.
Yeah.
And the reality is that, I mean, it is in our control. And you don't keep yourself depressed and sedated. Like, be aware of what's going on and understand the power that we each have to change it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This
I agree.
So
what?
I'm just taking so much from this conversation right now. Like, I'm just like marinating in it as we speak.
Oh my gosh, I love that, marinating in it. I love that so much. Oh my gosh.
No, it's cool too. Like from everyone that we talk to, it's like, everyone that gets sober, like the first instinct is to like lift everyone else up and be like, you're like, hey, I broke out of this. Like, fuck, like everyone, like get in the car. Like we're going, you know, it's just like amazing to see that everyone just wants to like give back and eject from the cycle and help other people do the same thing.
Yes. It's so cool. And that's one of the things I just freaking love about this shit, about this community on here, because if you know how good it feels to feel good, you want to help other people feel that good. And like, it's crazy to be able to just, I don't know, I'm not going to say anything that makes sense right now, probably, but it's just crazy.
All right. Well, while we're on this subject, since we went left and right and backwards, I do want to know a little bit more about like your coaching business and like kind of where it's at now, where you want to see it go, where you're growing it, like any sort of hurdles that you've had and how you're kind of going with it and overcoming it. Because we are like, you look amazing. Whatever you're doing, it is like anybody who needs a workout plan, you need to go to it's all about like going with, you want to look like, you want a trainer, you want somebody that looks like you.
Oh my gosh, you're too kind. Thank you. Like,
you took each step to get where you have. It didn't just come overnight. And it shows that you took those steps every single day.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. That's it.
So Jill, what's your Instagram handle?
Soberfit_girl.
Yeah. So go check her out. Lots of awesome exercise fitness videos out there.
And I will also be putting her information in the show notes. So if you want to sign up for her workout program, if you want to do one of her challenges, you will know where to find her.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. I think that not knowing where to start or what to do keeps so many people from starting. And that makes me sad because we all started somewhere. Like when I first got sober, I remember getting on the damn gram and seeing people, you know, do kick-throughs and push-ups and being like, damn, that looks hard. And then I just decided, like, I'm not going to get there watching other people do it. I got to just start, you know? And that's another example of one day at a time, because you build upon, you know, progress adds up, consistency works for you, and then one day you'll get there. One day you'll be like, damn, I just did push-ups on my toes, and it'll be just like when you're like, damn, I haven't even thought about drinking in the last freaking few years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time.
Maybe. Yeah, that first step. I mean, I can tend to procrastinate on things, you know?
You?
Yeah. So, like, a mental trick that I'll use for, like, you know, going to the gym or working out in particular is I'll be like, Matt, just put on your workout clothes. You don't have to go to the gym. Why don't you just put on your workout clothes? Just do that. It takes 10 seconds. You got to put something on to wear today anyway. Just put your workout clothes on. And then by the time you like just get that like 20 second activity done, I'm like, may as well go to the gym. You know, why not?
Yeah.
You're so much better than me. I literally used to put my gym clothes on and drive all the way to the gym. Mind you, my gym was 25 minutes away from my house.
Oh, my God.
Sit in the parking lot and turn around and go home because I just.
Shut up. Are you serious?
I did this like more times than I can count on my hands and my toes.
Oh, my God. You're hilarious.
No, it's not for me today. I'm not going. Like, literally.
I'm not going to lose all that time.
And then the 30 minutes in the parking lot for me to decide that I just didn't want to go in there and turn around and go.
So now it's like an hour and a half out of your day. You're like, shit.
Like, damn it.
Maybe tomorrow. Okay, so one thing I will say. So the programs that I do and plug people into, literally press play, follow along. You don't have to leave your home to do them. You can do them at the gym. But I think that that's the hardest part, just like you said, is like the actually putting on your damn clothes and deciding to press play and do the damn thing. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I'm like, don't look at the whole calendar and think about like 30 days from now. Think about today and just get through, just press play. Tell yourself you're going to get through 5 minutes. But like, I'm willing to bet you once you press play and get through 5 minutes, you're going to keep going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and ask yourself, what if 30 days ago I would have started? How much better would I feel right now?
Yeah.
The time's going to pass, you know. It's going to be next month.
Yeah.
The choice is yours on how you're going to approach the next 30 days.
That is so true. And I say that to people all the time, too. Like, the time's going to pass anyways, and the time is not sitting around waiting for us. So, like, people are like, I don't have time. I don't have money, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, time isn't sitting around waiting for you. And like, the sooner you start, the sooner you're going to start feeling better. But the thing is that bleeds over into other areas of your life, just like sobriety does. Like, I think sobriety is like the life, the ultimate life hack, but like getting fit and like in physically good shape is like totally right up there, because it's going to have such a ripple effect on every single area of your life. And it's like the person that you're going to turn into
is one with abs.
Yes, that. But like every day you're going to have to like practice discipline, practice pushing yourself, practice like you're going to start earning self-trust, self-respect. It like literally somebody said this to me once and I was like, you know what? I'm so glad you never told me that when I was in active addiction, because I would have been so annoyed at you. But they were like, discipline is self-love. And I was like, go fuck yourself. But it's so true.
Oh, yeah, it is. And everything, actually, if you can be disciplined, like even last week before we went on our trip, I started going to the gym with him. And even if I just got there and walked on the treadmill, did nothing else, but just got on there and walked. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I would do my little arm pulling rope thing I told you about. And then I was like, I felt really so much better about myself by the end of the week, just going 4 days.
Yeah.
And so like my new thing is like, I used to, like in my head, I was like, I have to go in there. I have to do my workout program. I have to lift my weights. I have to do this and this and that. But if I just get there and I move my body, and even if it's not the workout that's going to change anyone's life, like I got there, and it's the consistency of like of showing up for myself.
And you're keeping that promise to yourself, because that's the thing that like starts breaking our souls down. I think, I know that sounds super dramatic, but like the day before when you're telling yourself, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go to the gym, or tomorrow I'm going to press play on my workout, tomorrow I'm going to go for that run, and then you don't do it. That's like, it just kind of eats away at you. Don't you think, like over time, and nobody else knows about the promise that you're breaking to yourself, but you do. And that's almost like, I don't know. That just feels like shit.
That's how you stop loving yourself, is when you keep promises. Like,
yeah.
And I think like that's the hardest thing with a lot of people with breaking up with alcohol, is they like keep promising themselves that they're going to quit. They're going to do it differently. Yeah. They're going to only have two when they go out.
Yeah. Really,
like it's a drug, and it's harder than it looks to just do that. Yeah. But once you start, if you can keep your promise to stay away from alcohol, you can keep your promise to show up at the gym. You can keep your promise to make sure you vacuum your house so many times a week, to make your bed in the morning, to do all the things that make all the things happen.
Yes. And it's those simple little things. And I know like making your bed seems like the smallest thing, but even like starting there, like adding up this little daily wins. You guys, yes,
man. Bed making.
I won't say anything other than I always have like all of these quotes and idioms floating around my head. And when you talk about something like this, I always think of the Mark Twain quote about the first thing you should do in the morning, and I'm paraphrasing, is to like eat a frog. Because if you do the worst thing that you have to do in the morning, you know, it parallels getting your day started right and doing something like making your bed. Maybe it's not making your bed for everyone. Maybe it's something else.
I think I read that book. There's a book called Eat the Frog about like procrastinating. I definitely procrastinated even reading it, but then I read it. and now it's just floating around my head. So there's that, but
Do something hard in the morning, because it's just like a brain hack that then sets you up for the rest of the day.
And that's what I tell people when they start like on programs with me too, is like getting that win first thing in the day. Just like, you can go out, you just approach the day with a whole different mindset, with a whole different like confidence and like self-esteem. And it's just like mental strength, knowing that you like did the hard thing already. Mm-hmm.
And then you start, I'm capable of it.
What's that?
It sets you up with the mindset that I'm capable. And so what you guys were talking about a few minutes ago, you know, you're keeping that promise to yourself and you're setting yourself up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of, okay, so the parallels that we were talking about drinking and working out, like keeping the promise to not drink, keeping the promise to work out. Like, it's like one is breaking a bad habit and one is building a new one, but it's like the same mindset will get you there, right? Just like one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time kind of shit.
Yeah, and I used to be really good about going to the gym like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, circling it back with drinking now. I mean, Monday morning.
I'm going to show you our cat, but he ran away.
So today being Monday, you know, laying in bed having coffee, it wasn't, oh, are we going to go to the gym
today? This is our big kitty.
It was.
Oh, my gosh, that cat is huge. But what were you saying about laying in bed and saying – it wasn't the question like, are you going to go? Was it just like, when are you going to go kind of thing?
Yeah. Cause then that like reshapes, flips that script. It's not, when are we, you know, it's, do I have to go to the gym or whatever today? It's no, when do I get to go to the
gym? Yes, it is. Yes. So true. So true.
That's a big thing is like we would talk about like when people are like, I have to get sober. It's like, I get to be sober. I get to wake up without a hangover. I get to not feel like shit. I get to go out and remember my night. Like,
yeah.
We actually get to do all these things, but we frame it because we're told that we're missing out so much. It's like, I have to do that. I have to be sober. I have to not drink when I'm with my friends. I have to miss out. Like, that's how we're told to think about it.
Yes, that was hard for me at first when I first got sober. I'm not going to lie. Like, I will tell you. And I had a good friend of mine tell me something. I was like, because I was kind of basically confessing to him. I was like, sometimes, this was like a couple years ago. I was like, sometimes I feel bad that I robbed myself or ruined it for myself, like the luxury, quote unquote, of recreational drinking. Like I just ruined that for myself, you know? And he's like, why do you feel bad about that after all that it stole from you? You know, like, why do you think of it like that? And I was like, that's such a good point. Like, after all that it literally sneaks in on us and like steals our potential, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite little idioms, quotes, again, whatever you want to call it, is like, to be accountable to your potential.
That's like, such a good one.
Like, every person is our potential is so much, and alcohol just strips it. It like takes our time. It takes our dreams and what we want to do.
Yeah.
And it condenses it down into drinking Thursday through Sunday, or, you know, whatever that is for different people.
Yes. Yes. And people are always like, how are you so consistent? Like, with your workouts and stuff. And I'm like, well, have you ever tried it sober? Like, have you ever tried consistency sober?
Exactly.
But then I think that's such a good point. You can bring it back to like your dreams and your goals and everything. Like, have you tried going for that dream and that goal, like dead ass sober? Like, you know, it's a whole different level of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, everyone's different. That type of challenge like works for me. Like, that's how Brittany gets me to vacuum the stairs. You know?
Did you hear that story? Like,
no,
I actually did a funny like post on a story on this. Cause I was like, God, I have to vacuum the house. And I do the most of the vacuuming. And he's like, I like vacuuming. And I'm like, since when? When do you like vacuuming?
Like, I like the results of vacuuming.
Like, when have I seen you pick up the vacuum to vacuum? Like, you like it? This is news to me. So all of a sudden I hear something going on on the stairs. And he's out there vacuuming the stairs.
You're like, and what's happening?
He weekly vacuums the stairs to prove me wrong, to prove that he actually likes to vacuum, because I never knew that before.
Never knew it. Stairs are the worst to vacuum, too. Oh, those are not fun to vacuum at all.
That's his favorite thing.
Yes.
Wink, wink. That's oh, my gosh. That is so funny.
We're getting a little long-winded, so for all of our listeners out there, I do want to know, like, so say you were to just meet someone and they came to you, and I'm sure you probably have people do this like online, just say like, where do I start? Like, I feel I'm stuck, I'm drowning in my alcoholism or my addiction. How do I start? How do I keep it going? Like, what would be some advice that you would give to someone that's really struggling and like how to start it?
Oh my gosh, that is a good question. Because first of all, I would say you are one step ahead of where I was, because I did go down kicking and screaming. And like, to be self-aware enough to think like, I want to do this for myself is so huge. So like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But second, I would just say, seriously, take it one day at a time. Like, and I know that that sounds like such a simplified approach, but if you're not gonna like go to treatment or seek help outside of like, you know, doing it yourself, you really just got to focus on one day at a time. Like I heard something once that was like, there is a cure for alcoholism and addiction. The only problem is it only works one day at a time. And that's so true, because like, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but as long as you stay sober today, you're going to wake up tomorrow and do it again, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it. I like the one day at a time. My only issue is like, so I think like a lot of people think that they have to do it one day at a time for the rest of their life. Like they're going to be thinking about it every single day. But I like them to know, like, it's not going to be like that every single day for the rest of your life. Like you will wake up one day and you're not going to have to think, oh, I'm going to stay sober today. You're just, it's going to be your life. You live a sober life. Your life is great. It's going good. You're not going to think like, God, I really want to be here tonight. Yeah. Like that one day out of time.
Yeah.
Not going to be a forever thing for you.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because okay. So people have asked me that before and I totally forgot that I'll say, so there's like different stages. Tell me if you agree or if you have these two, like different stages of first, you're like, fuck, I really want to drink, or shit, I wish I could still, and then it moves to like, damn, I wish I wasn't thinking about wishing I could drink. And then it moves to like, I wish I wasn't thinking about not thinking about drinking. And then one day you're like, shit, I haven't thought anything about drinking for like months, you know? It's like,
it's kind of like, it just hits one day. Like if you take it those one day at a time, because I think a lot when, like for me, when people would talk about one day at a time, and I have nothing against AA, but I know that's said in there a lot, but they say it in a way that you have to show up for the rest of your life one day at a time.
Yeah.
And I personally, and I know it might, this is just from my experience, this isn't like toward, and for some people it might be that one day at a time for the rest of their life. But I feel like the freedom comes from not having to think about it every single day, you know, like you will get it to get out of that jail.
Yeah.
Of the one day at a time, because that's the way to either, you know, like exercise is a little different in the way, like if you do it one day at a time, you're going to keep seeing good results. You're going to keep the good result, you know, like you're going to, you know, if you stay focused that way. But with drinking, if you have to literally go for the rest of your life thinking, I got to think about not drinking one day at a time for forever, that's just as much jail as drinking was.
Yeah.
And so I like people to know, like, at the beginning it is one day at a time and it's going to stay like that. And then one day you wake up and it's just become your life. Like that's who you are. Those are the habits you have formed. And now you can go do one day at a time on something better.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. Because like, I don't wake up thinking one day at a time anymore. I just know that that's how I got here, you know, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think about it anymore, but that's how I got here. And that's like the only way I can describe it, because there wasn't like a massive blueprint and a map. All these different directions. It was just like you just keep going and focusing on the thing in front of you, and then one day you're like, holy crap, I'm just living my life now, and I'm not even like thinking about the fact that I'm not drinking. Because like at first I used to be literally like scared to walk down the aisle with the wine and the beer at the grocery store, and now I'm like, fuck that, it's shorter, I'm going, you know, like I'm not like, oh, the poison on the shelf is going to get me. Like, I don't think about it. It's just like,
I'm going to put it in the cart.
Like something's going to come over me and it's just going to like jump into my mouth.
I might sniff it.
I seriously think I thought that in the beginning. And then one day it's just like, holy crap. It's like you just reach a point of neutrality and you kind of have to just like let go and quit obsessing about it. Because the more you think about it, the more you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the more I always like wherever your mind, like where your thoughts go, you follow. So yes. I feel like if you have to think about it all the time and you're always thinking about not drinking and you don't live your life and start thinking of other things you'd rather be doing than drinking do those things, it's going to be a fail system because you're so focused that you never get your mind off of it. You know, like your mind's like, oh, I'm going to go to the farmer's market and make dinner and watch this movie and then, you know, do all these things. Then your brain isn't going to the alcohol aisle. Yeah. Your brain isn't going to, why am I not drinking? Your brain's somewhere else away from it.
Mm-hmm. It's just like getting out of your head and into the damn moment. And you really just got to start taking action and not like living in like fear about like what you're missing out on, because you're going to like that mindset's going to wreck you unless you just start living your damn life without it. You know,
that's how I feel about counting. Like for me, counting was like, I would try to get sober and do those countdown things that keeps track. And that literally would drive me to go drink again. Because it's all I thought about was another day not drinking. Oh my God, it's another day. And when I stopped counting and started living, it wasn't there to look at.
Yeah. And That's kind of how I am with that too. Like I haven't like even gone and like picked up chips or any of that kind of stuff because like I have to do backwards math. If you ask me how long I've been sober, I have to like bust out my fingers and like be like, when did I move to Texas? Like, what year was it? Like, where, you know, like, but I kind of like that because it's just like proof of what we're saying. Like, you're just going to live your life and you're not going to think about it.
We asked ChatGPT to do it for us.
You did?
If I stop drinking on this day, how long have I been sober? And it will do the math.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So I'm over here like doing finger math. That's funny.
You can just give me your date next time. I'll do it on ChatGPT.
Okay. My sobriety date is actually Groundhog's Day, which I think is hilarious because it's like it was every fucking day. It was the same. You know? That is pretty cool. So I always remember that. I just never remember what year because I know it's 5 now. It's crazy. Crazy. Wow. See, I never would have, like if I would have been thinking about it every single day, I would. Can you imagine living in that mental prison? Oh, gosh. No.
Or like people like that keep showing up for, like the meeting thing. I'm like, if I had to show up to a meeting, like if I thought I had to show up to a meeting to stay sober, I'd be drinking already. Because like, first of all, I don't like things that are very inconvenient. I took most of my classes in college online because I didn't like the idea that I had to drive there to take them. I felt like it was just like very inconvenient for me.
You're like, don't make me park. Get in there.
Yeah, like, don't make me park and walk to class and sit in my desk and walk all the way. Like, it just seemed like a lot of extra things that I didn't need to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I had to, like, someone told me I have to go to these meetings for the rest of my life, and I don't really like people that much, so I would just having to go
in a group. Like, their own.
But whatever. I think for some people, it's great. Like for some people, they love it. They love showing up. They love having those people to see and to talk to and all that stuff. So I think to each their own, but I just know like for me, it definitely wasn't the way for me.
Yeah. Everyone's like exit ramp looks a little bit different because everyone's on ramp to that problem is different. Like what?
That's such a good way to put it. Yeah. Like we all figure our shit out in like different ways at different times. And like what works for you is going to be different than what works for me or somebody else. And like, the point is just that like you keep trying and keep going until you figure it out.
Yeah. Until something clicks for you.
Yeah. Because like you said, like everybody deserves to feel, you know, to break through to thrival mode.
To be free, like birds. Yeah,
seriously. Yeah. Because your mind can be a prison or a passport. I heard that on a workout the other day. I was like, okay.
All right. So last but not least, if you could say there was one thing that the mock, if you could say like, this is kind of like your claim to fame for getting sober, the mocktail made you. Mm-hmm. What did the mocktail make you do?
Oh my gosh. That is like a hard question. Start living my freaking damn life. Honestly, I think that's my answer. Is that?
That's perfect.
Like actually living and realizing that like time is non-refundable and that shit is not guaranteed. And like, mm-hmm. I spent so many days in like active addiction and like drunk as all hell, just like wishing the days away. If I was like hungover or feeling like shit or like couldn't meet my plug or whatever, I'd be like, well, tomorrow we'll be here. Like, why you want to wish your life away for that shit, you know?
All the days wasted hungover. Like, I'm like, how do I have so much time to build a podcast and vlog and go to work and keep my house clean and all these things? Like, well, because I'm not hungover. I'm not wasting any of the days. And then when you first get sober, I know this really just got off on a tangent, but when you first get sober, you have all this time.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You're like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I can definitely. It's a little overwhelming.
It is. Like being in bed for days, feeling like shit, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Like Sunday afternoon and I feel great.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to the gym or go for a walk or
get
ready for the week. First,
I did not do shit. I think I read a lot of books, but just like, not like personal development because my brain was still like wacky as hell. But like, it is overwhelming to have so much time where you're not like super obsessing about some shit. Like drinking and drugs and all that.
Just trying to nurse a hangover.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of time.
It really does. And you're just sitting there like, I can't wait till tomorrow. Hopefully I'll feel better. It's the worst. The worst. The worst is
to wake up the next day again and it's still there.
Yeah. Like because they get worse the older you get, for sure.
Yeah. Brutal.
But luckily we don't have to deal with that shit anymore.
No, not anymore.
Just like hard workout hangover or whatever.
Yeah, what is it called? DOMS, delayed onset muscle.
Yeah.
Soreness.
You can't get your own pants on.
Yeah, you know, like after a long bike, the first long bike ride of a new season, mm-hmm. you can't sit down naturally for a couple days. Personal experience, maybe too much information, but
that's hilarious. Though that's funny.
All right. Well, we'll probably wrap this up since we're
okay.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. We had such a great time. We'll have to have you on here again. So,
yes, I would love to.
That's all for now.
Heck yeah.
We have to talk about Dave next time.
Oh, yeah. We'll cover Dave next time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
Love you guys.
Bye. Thank you for listening.
Heck yeah. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Mocktails Made Me podcast. We truly appreciate your support. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, and share to help spread the word about the rewarding benefits of reducing or eliminating alcohol. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Mocktails Made Us for more updates and exclusive content. Join us next time for more inspiring stories and remarkable impacts of living alcohol-free. Discover what the mocktails can make possible. We'll be right back.